listening to Women Who Change Tech, the podcast that gives you access to women who are contributing, inspiring, trailblazing, and disrupting the business of technology. We believe that when women inspire other women, amazing things happen. I'm your host, Allison Wade.
And I am your host, Jessie Sterenshoes, and we are connecting women around the world to share ideas that help us thrive and advance in our personal lives and in our careers.
Be sure to share this podcast with your friends, rate and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, and help us bring Women Who Change Tech into the lives of more professionals.
Hold on to your seats as we give you a dose of inspiration from some of the most talented and creative women who are shifting the face of technology.
Hi, Jessie. Are you excited about Italy?
I am. Allison, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much. I'm counting the days down till we go on our magical walk shop. Yes, not workshop, but walk shop in Italy. We're going to, Jessie and I are going to be getting our ideas outdoors, right?
We are. We're going to be walking in beautiful Italy with our backpacks and all of our favorite people, leaders from all over, thinking about all sorts of ideas, both work and different things kind of going on in our lives. I just can't wait.
Me too. I am so looking forward to it. It's going to be in the Tuscany region and we're walking from village to village. And there is nothing like being outdoors and hiking in a beautiful place, but also doing it with incredible people. So I'm super excited about that.
Me too. I just got to figure out how to shove everything in my suitcase and backpack.
Yes, I will have
hardest part.
I will have to say one of the joys of this trip is while we're hiking from village to village, our suitcase is being brought to the next stop. And that just makes everything better. Let's be clear here. We are not backpacking with everything in our little backpack.
No,
or
no,
Jessie and I would not be going.
No, right. And we are staying in places with air conditioning. We're not like in a tent or anything. Very true. I'm just complaining about how fitted in my stuff to get to Italy. I'm not complaining about actually lugging it on my back, just to be clear. Yeah. How did you do during the hurricane?
We fared very well. Thankfully, it was the worst part of the hurricane was the week-long wait to see if it was going to hit us, if it was going to divert, if it was going to be a Category 5, if it was going to be a Category 2. We just did not know from day to day. And of course, our hearts go out to those people in the Bahamas. That's just devastating.
Terrible. Yeah, really terrible.
Yeah.
I feel so bad for them. We here in Jacksonville really dodged a big one, but I cannot imagine what they are going through right now.
No, me neither.
So, yeah, super unfortunate. Not fun.
Yeah.
The weather is no joke these days.
No. Yes, we literally did not know if we'd be going to be able to record this podcast today because we thought we might be in day two of hurricane, but luckily it passed us by 135 miles east of Jacksonville. So I hope that North Carolina doesn't get it too badly.
Yes, me too.
And now Jessie and I can focus on packing for Italy.
Yes, packing away. So I'm excited today to actually meet and talk to Stacy. I know that you know her, but I'm excited to get to meet her for the first time.
Yeah, Stacy's an incredible woman. I saw her speak at Star, one of our Star conferences, I think it was 2016. And then we offered her a spot in what we call our lightning keynotes because she did such a great job. And lightning keynote is literally 5 minutes long. And I think I wrote down 10 quotes that she said in those 5 minutes because she's just so amazing. And so I can't wait for everybody to meet Stacy Kirk today. I want to introduce everyone to Stacy Kirk. She's a woman who is an innovator. Stacy is an advocate for quality and process and innovation in software development. She's the founder and CEO of QualityWorks Consulting Group, an international quality-driven software consulting firm, revolutionizing how quality and web and mobile applications are built and delivered. In 2015, Stacy expanded QualityWorks to Jamaica, where it operates as one of the fastest growing companies in the Caribbean, with a 400% growth of clients, staff, and revenue since its expansion. Stacy has shared her expertise speaking at many conferences. She's given talks on bold and fearless leadership, fear-driven success, continuous integration of quality and innovation, DevOps culture and process transformation, full stack testing in JNode.js. She will be a keynote speaker at our upcoming Star West conference, and she'll be talking about QA DevSecOps, leading a quality-driven DevOps transformation. Stacy is a great friend of mine. She's spoken at many conferences. I absolutely love talking to her, and I always say she's one of the most quotable people I know. So welcome, Stacy.
Thank you. It's great to be here. Thanks, Allison.
So, Stacy, tell us a little bit about your background and how you ended up where you are today.
Yeah, sure. So I often say that I was born a developer, but raised a tester. So I've been testing since my sophomore year of college, 1996, seems like 100 years ago. And I was introduced to testing with an internship with Remedy Corporation, where I was sat at a Unix workstation and handed a big binder of tests and told, go for it. And what I found was the process fascinated me. And it fascinated me because there was this unspoken power of QA. And I found the fascination was really linked to the inefficiencies in the testing process. And so some people found testing to kind of be annoying and repetitive. I just found it to be extremely fascinating because there was so many problems to solve. And so I love the collaborative nature of QA, the opportunity to be able to be nosy, participate in every stage of software development, and do that under the guise of, well, I need to be at this meeting because I'm here to shift quality left. So I've spent the last 20 plus years as a leader in testing. I've led some software development teams. And then, as you mentioned, I started my consulting firm in 2010, and I named it QualityWorks Consulting Group, even though it was only a group of one, myself.
Yes, intention versus method there, Stacy. That's awesome.
Yes. So I had the vision that it would be an incredible group of like-minded people that wanted to be innovative in how we build high-quality products. And so even though it started with one, it's grown, and I'm fortunate 9 years later to say I get an opportunity to work with an amazing team.
That's great. Did you ever bring on anybody that you met from school, or are they newer people that you've met along your career path into your company?
So after I graduated, I graduated right in the dot-com boom era, mm-hmm. which was great, because it didn't have to even interview. Yeah. I just say, hey, I graduated computer science. Okay, great. What job do you want? It was a crazy, crazy
especially,
time.
Especially since you graduated from Stanford. I'm sure that didn't hurt at all.
Well, let's just say it did. Yes, it didn't hurt. And it was just a mad season for mm-hmm. trying to find developers and trying to find people with experience. And so I've had a chance to work with people from my school. Being in Silicon Valley for the first few years out of college, that was just a common place to be able to build an incredible network. And so now I have this great network of friends, colleagues throughout Silicon Valley, from school, from here in Southern California, that have really helped support my career as well.
That's great. Awesome.
So your business is based in Jamaica, though, which is your home country, right? That's where you're from originally.
Well, this is kind of crazy. Well, the business is based out of Los Angeles, and we have a brick and mortar office in Jamaica.
Okay.
It's not my home country, okay. Even though I try to say that I am 100% Jamaican, and you know, my staff laughs at me, but when I do
let's get the DNA testing out here.
Yeah. Well, when I do my Cool Runnings accent, which sounds really great to anyone in the U.S., when I go, "Hey, man, I'm from Jamaica." But when you do that to a Jamaican, they just shake their head like, "Stacey, stop, please."
I think my husband has that same accent.
Yeah.
Polish. Oh,
no. Thank you. Right. So my friend, Stacey, you sound Irish. Oh, no. Maybe after a few drinks. But my father was born in Jamaica, and he left when he was 20. He's in his 80s now. Mm-hmm. So what's crazy, and as part of the bold, fearless step out on faith, is I didn't know anyone in Jamaica when I decided to start a business there. But I knew the culture. I knew the need. I knew it was the third largest English speaking country in the Western Hemisphere. And after I went there to meet and to interview, I found just what I think is a gold mine of talent that was just overlooked. And so I had to learn a lot very quickly about a new country, which was fun. It's exciting.
That's really awesome.
So what were some of the things that you discovered? Like, what were some of the first things you noticed when you went there that you thought were overlooked that made you want to start the business there?
Well, a few things to notice is that we have a lot of fear media in the U.S. And so reading articles in newspapers and my mom calling me like, you're going to where? Kingston, Jamaica? They're going to kill you. It's so dangerous there, right? So the first thing is, and I tell everyone, is you really need to travel because you can't just believe whatever you read in a magazine or read in the newspaper. I found Kingston first to be extremely safe. And just like any big city, there are pockets that are terrible. Yes. And you just don't go to those pockets.
Right.
And then what I found was that Jamaica really knows the American culture well. I mean, I feel like they're more, most of the colleagues I met there are more read up in terms of what's happening on the political scene in the United States than I am, because it does impact Jamaica. And so the same TV shows, a lot of the same culture, there are more similarities than differences. And they were more than welcoming to me as a young woman entrepreneur. What I thought was great was when I first got there, the prime minister was a woman. And so there's this very matriarchal woman empowerment that I was very surprised about in Jamaica. A lot of tech leaders are women in Jamaica. And so that was refreshing and new for me as well. And so I did receive a lot of support at the time. The dollar, and the dollar still is very depressed there. So the cost of living, the salaries of software developers were substantially lower than in the United States. And so it was a great opportunity for me and also the people that I was able to bring onto the team to give exposure to them and give exposure to my clients to the type of talent that is so close to their shore.
So was your original vision for what you wanted to start and what you have now, how far apart was that? Is it evolved into something that you didn't expect, or did it go along as you expected?
The original vision is still the same. So when I started my company, I don't think, on the advice of friends, I created a set of core values. One was quality, of course, but the other is innovation, teamwork, and entrepreneurial spirit. So from the beginning, with the group of one, myself, I created these core values to make sure I stayed on track as I grew. And so what I'll say is we started being software testing consultancy, but really, really the goal for me and what I use that kind of as kind of a guise, but really we are about making products better. And as you know, just an experience is you can have the most incredible testers, but if you have terrible requirements, the developers are not using best practices, you have a broken process, you're going to have a bad product. And so what's been great about having my own company and being able to have these incredible clients that come to us with, how can you help us? They come to us saying, I need test automation engineers. But what ends up happening is we actually help them identify what's broken throughout the whole process so that they really get the end goal. They think it's test automation that was going to solve their problem, but really there's so many other aspects. And so my team has grown to not only just have developers and tests, but we have agile coaches, we have software developers, scrum masters, UI, UX. So we really are looking at the holistic approach to creating great software, which is great. And it's still all aligned with our core values.
In one of the talks that you gave, you put up this fantastic picture of talking about your team in Jamaica, of them all planking during a meeting, which became famous because I think Tanya Catan published it in her book on creative trespassing. And I just thought that was just like such a fun and fantastic thing to do in your stand-ups there.
Oh, yeah. Well, we have to be creative. Mm-hmm. One of the hard things about the type of people I hire people that get bored easily, but they love to learn. And that continuous learning spirit makes it so that they can't necessarily do the same thing for too long without needing to expand the box. And so, as you know, daily stand-ups can get tedious. And so we try to leverage innovation even in our internal process of how can we make this more fun? How can we make it more exciting? How can we improve on the way we do our meetings? So we don't plank every day. I don't want to scare away potential recruits. Like, listen, I'm okay with coming work for you, but I am not trying to get my core together.
The job description reads only people with six packs apply, right?
Yeah, strong to the core, literally.
That's awesome.
But we do have a lot. We do have a lot of fun. And when you have a team that's being creative like that, it just spills over into the work that we do.
Mm-hmm. So are you the only person that's located in LA then? And then everybody else is in Jamaica, or are there more distributed people elsewhere?
Yeah. So we have people here in Southern California. Mm-hmm. I do have people that are distributed that we bring on for certain projects around the U.S. Mm-hmm. We have had people across the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. So depending on the project, we pick the right person. Mm-hmm. And so when I initially started QualityWorks, after employee number two or consultant number two through five were all in Southern California. So it really depends on what our clients' needs are. Sometimes they need people that are on site or they need US only. So we have that flexibility depending on their budget and their needs.
And how do you deal with having that distributed team? How has that been?
I think the time of having distributed teams, this is the best time ever for distributed teams. I mean, finally, video conference is not glitchy and high definition. And when I was working at Symantec, I had teams in Poland, India, China. Mm-hmm. And I found at the time, and this was in the early 2000s, I found it to be extremely painful and very disruptive to my sleeping pattern. Because of the vast difference in time. And that 11 o'clock, you want to have very meaningful 11 p.m. You're starting very meaningful conversations. It just doesn't work well.
Yes.
And so I vowed to not ever have a distributed team until I realized that's not the world we live in anymore. If you want top talent, you want great people, you have to go beyond just your city oftentimes. And so I just thought, that's why I went to Jamaica. I mean, it's great. They're on Central Time Zone. So it allows us to have face-to-face video conferencing all day. English is the first language. To me, I just found it to be like a great compromise.
I think you're right. I did a software project that I was working on for 3.5 months with India, and being on the West Coast of the US, it was just exhausting because most of my meaningful conversations happened between 11 p.m. and 2 a.m. where I was setting them up for the next phase of success to get stuff done. And they were and I was answering all of their questions they had. Mm-hmm. And after 3 months of doing it, I was like a zombie.
Yeah. Yeah. It has an impact. And so I tell people, you pay the price. Mm-hmm. People go, oh, you know what? I can go, if I go to India, it's like $20, $15 for a software developer. And I said, yes, but there's a cost. There's always a cost. It may be to your leaders that have to stay up and do the work, or it may be the delays, but you pay the price. And so that was something I didn't want to be a challenge for me and as I grew my company.
Mm-hmm. Stacey's team was at our last conference. They actually had a booth on our expo floor, and they were like some of the most awesome people. And her company was incredibly popular because Stacey gave away a trip to Jamaica as part of the expo. So I mean, it was like literally electrified with excitement about who was going to win the trip to Jamaica. It was like so exciting.
I know. I feel like it was like The Price is Right. Like you it just was. Come on down. You won a trip to Jamaica.
I think the person that won did like three laps around before she like, you know, with her hands in the air, like, yes. Oh my God. It was very exciting.
It was very fun. We were very popular. I guess if you give away trips to Jamaica, you can earn
this should be your strategy forever. Just give away a trip to Jamaica and everybody will come talk to you. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, it was a great experience.
They're like, I don't want those branded headphones or whatever else it is you're giving away, all that swag. I want the trip to Jamaica.
They're like, forget the pop sockets.
Exactly. Who wants that?
Yeah. So Stacey, I'm interested how you got into speaking. How did that start?
Oh, wow. Great question. I think there's something in me that likes to have attention on me. I'm a little vain, maybe. I've always spoke in school. Mm-hmm. In school, I was part of the engineering group and always was picked to be the host of the event because mm-hmm. I'm insanely crazy and say highly inappropriate stuff, which is okay in college, not now.
We need to give Stacey a few drinks and have that side come out so we can see that side of her.
What else?
Yeah. Let's just say, I'm very memorable. I could definitely call anyone up from college and they're like, oh, I don't know you, Stacey. I remember. I remember what you said on the stage. So I've always enjoyed making people laugh and sharing interesting stuff that other people may not share. Mm-hmm. But as I started really trying to grow my company, I found that was going to be, it was key for people to know me and to mm-hmm. be able to trust me as a person, because mm-hmm. it's really hard for any company to pick a partner or a company yeah. that you want to work with. I mean, there's just so many out there. Every day you get 50 emails with people saying, hey, we can build your next product and we can mm-hmm. do it better than the next. So mm-hmm. I wanted to be able to introduce myself and my experience to the world. And so I started putting out some abstracts and submitting for call to speakers. And I thought, okay, well, this is my first time really speaking on the technical circuit. I think this was in 2016. I submitted to 10 places and all 10 said, yeah, we want you. And I was like, what? Is that how it works? I thought like maybe I'd get one. They put me at the end of the last day. But I was well received and I'm just so thankful for that. And so that year I kind of burnt myself out just talking everywhere.
Yeah.
But it was just a really great experience to meet other great speakers yeah. and understand how important it is to be able to give back and share what you're learning.
Yeah. Have you been trying to encourage other people in your company to speak as well?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a few people that have just released. We have one person that's just Julia Pottinger just released test automation in JavaScript to Test Automation University, led by Angie Jones. Mm-hmm. Last year, we had one of our consultants speak at a Node.js conference about visual testing. We've got a few people in Toastmasters and we've done some, and I had a three-woman team that spoke on DevOps at a conference last year from my company. So we're getting out there.
That's great.
You have to be a speaker, you have to forget about your nerves and yeah. realize that the people in the audience are hungry for information. And I try to, especially with a lot of the women in my organization, let them know that they have a story to tell. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter if they're at 2 years of experience or 10. And so I do a lot of mentorship and thankful for Angie Jones, who has come to Jamaica. It's not too hard to get people to come to Jamaica. She came and I was appreciative. She sat with my team and really encouraged them and mentors some of them as well. So mm-hmm. it's been great. It's great to see people get their confidence to share their story.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it so fun too, how many nice speakers you meet when you're a speaker? I always personally, I think that's one of my favorite parts of being a speaker is getting to meet all the other nice speakers as well.
Such a wealth of brilliance and an openness as well to share.
Yeah. Especially I like among the other women speakers too. It's like this nice group of ladies.
Yeah. I find that when I ask women speakers to speak, they often, if they can't do it, they often say, I can't, but I can highly recommend XYZ. And that's always so helpful to me. Mm-hmm. And it's a way of supporting other women in the community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's always like the greatest people too.
Yeah. And I should mention one of Stacey's quotes that I love now, which really is what you were just talking about. Success is a decision that my value to the world is greater than my fears. And I think that's what was one of the key things I talk about at Women Who Test is that you are afraid to speak or to share your knowledge sometimes. But if you can overcome that, but everybody is, even the people that get up there and do it on a regular basis is still afraid, right? They're doing it afraid.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I have some people in my company that every year I have a women's leadership summit internal to my company. And there were three or four people that said they have this extreme fear of speaking in front of people, and they set goals for themselves. And now today, if you saw them, they are such dynamic speakers, so cool and calm. I'm sitting here taking notes from them.
That's great.
But inside, they're still like, oh my God, I feel like I was going to have a panic attack. And I was like, well, I'm glad that you kept going because I couldn't tell at all.
Right.
So I think it's a lot of people see you on stage and be like, oh, well, you don't have any fears. You're just mm-hmm. that type of person. But mm-hmm. I get nervous every time. But I go for it anyway.
Yeah, you gave a talk on bold and fearless leadership at our Women Who Test Day. And I mean, you literally got a standing ovation after it because you really shared a lot of personal content about your life and things that you'd done to overcome fear. Mm-hmm. And so can you share with our listeners just a few of those ideas that you embodied over your time as a female owner of your own business and CEO and speaker?
Yeah, sure. Well, what I mentioned in that talk and I share is that there's three C's to bold and fearless leadership, and that's confidence, courage, and coaching. So it starts with confidence and making sure that you don't fall into the victim mindset of I can't do it because I've got too much work or no one's giving me time, and really just looking for opportunities in whatever it is that you're doing. Look for ways where you can volunteer at work, take on new projects, be more assertive. And so I think I shared that growing up in Texas, in a small town in Texas, I was the only person of color in my entire elementary school and probably in my entire neighborhood. And I was chubby too. So I had a couple, I was extremely tall like I am now. So they would call me the green giant. And I guess today they would call it bullying. They didn't call it bullying then. But what I found is that I could have said that my childhood I was victimized or I was a victim. But what I rather say is even though I was bullied or victimized, I took that as opportunities to be the best me, to show, hey, just because we don't look the same, just because I'm different than you, doesn't mean that I can't do the same things that you can do, that I'm not valuable, I'm not smart. And so I used it as a way to really ignite my learning in school. And I think that still kind of pushes me in terms of being different. And I think, Allison, you asked me once about, you know, just how has being a woman and being an African-American woman shaped your career? And I think I enjoy diversity. I enjoy diversity in terms of my friends, in terms of type of work I do. And I enjoy being a person that's different and being able to highlight my perspective and how it all pulls into a better product or a better idea as a team. So it starts with that confidence and definitely having the courage, like the crazy courage to go to a country where you don't know anyone. Mm-hmm. And do so right when you are going through a divorce and going through a home remodel and taking my last few dollars and investing in this crazy idea that I could expand my company in Jamaica. So definitely have stepped out on fear. And I think if you believe in yourself, then you can't go wrong. And even if you mm-hmm. fail, you just take it as a great learning experience and try again.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you mentioned coaching. Did you feel like you have some mentors or coaches that really helped you along the way?
I have so many coaches, and I don't think we ask enough, men or women. I think even women, maybe we're a little more timid to say, I need you to help me. You're good at this. Can you help me be better at it? And mm-hmm. so at every stage of my career, from my first job as a leader, finding another senior manager, woman leader to say, listen, I want to be a better manager. Can you help lead? Can you help mentor my career? Mm-hmm. To starting my own business and finding mentors that had done consulting at scale and to show me, this is what I'm doing. How do I do it better? To being a speaker and having mentors to help me with reviewing what I'm going to say and helping me write better speeches. So mm-hmm. at every stage, I cannot take credit to be like, hey, I did it all on my own. I did it because I had incredible mentorships and people that want to help. And so it works both ways. I have to give back and because of all I've received. So it kind of works both ways. You need to be coached and then you need to be coaching. That's when you mm-hmm. really are able to hone your skill of some of your strengths.
Absolutely.
Love that. Absolutely love that. So I think we should try to play a game. What do you think?
Yay.
I was thinking we could try to play this game. No, you didn't. So are you up for it, my ladies? I can teach it to you.
Yeah, let's go.
Yes, I am.
All right. So how it works is you start to tell a story, and then at any point we can say, no, you didn't. And then you have to just completely change the story on a dime. So for instance, if I start telling a story and I say, so yesterday I went outside during the hurricane, and then one of you says, no, you didn't, then I would take the story in a different direction, right? And so I go, oh yeah, you're right. I actually was playing in my closet. And so I just start telling the story, and then you can stop me again and say, no, you didn't. Okay. And so I keep telling the story, and every time you stop me, I have to take the story in another direction.
Okay.
So what we do is we can each tell a little short story. And no, you didn't each other. Make okay. sense?
Okay.
So I'll start by being the first victim. And then I'll warm it up so you can torture me first and then
okay.
whoever wants to play next. So you can, either one of you can know you didn't me. That's the fun of it. Okay. So what do you want my story to be about at least to begin with?
Oh, I think you should just talk about the hurricane because you're already kind of led into that one.
All right. And then either one of you can just say no, you didn't whenever you want. And feel free to do it a bunch of times in a row to torture me. It's really fun. Okay. So this week we had this gigantic hurricane that was supposed to be coming to Florida. And we were getting all of our supplies.
No, you didn't.
You're right. We didn't. I was like, you know what, family, fend for yourself. Like, you're going to just have to go outside and climb a tree and get some oranges. And so we all climbed up a big tree.
No, you didn't.
Right. We don't have any trees because we lost them all in the last hurricane. So I told my kids to go bang on the neighbor's door and ask them for food because I didn't feel like paying for anything for the hurricane. So Allie and Maya went up to our neighbor's house. And they knocked on the door to ask.
No, they didn't.
Right, they didn't. They just broke in. They just went straight inside and they took stuff from the refrigerator and ran back.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, right, they didn't. They actually took the neighbors, not their food, and brought them over to our house. And then they switched houses, so they locked our neighbors in our house. And then they stayed.
Oh no, they didn't.
You're right, they didn't. They actually locked the neighbors outside of their house and they locked us outside of our own house. And we just sat outside during the storm as it rolled by. Luckily, it was just like a few little raindrops.
Oh, no, it wasn't.
Right. It was, I mean, it was a full-on tornado. So we got swept up and we landed in the St. John's River. Good thing we could swim.
No, you didn't.
Right. We can't swim because I'm a terrible mom and we never had any swimming lessons. The end.
That was great.
That's the story of the hurricane. Who wants to go next? Either one of you want to try?
Yeah, I'll go, but if you give me a topic, I don't think I can beat Jesse, but we'll see.
Do you want to try like living in LA as your topic?
Oh, okay, great.
Is that fine?
Yes.
Okay, so you can start like how it is to live in LA and then we'll know you didn't you at any point.
So I love living in LA because everyone has a mobile office called their car.
No, they don't.
That's right. They all drive Mercedes-Benz and they fill it with lots of Perrier and always looking on their phone, but they actually don't. That's right. They have assistants that look on their phone. And so we all have to take our drives to the plastic surgery because, of course, it is Los Angeles, and if you're not beautiful, you actually aren't allowed to live here. So on my drive to getting plastic surgery, I went to the doctor and told them, you know, I've got to make sure I still look 21. Okay, that's right, 16, because 21 is old. 21 is old in LA. That's right. I couldn't pull off 16, so I just decided that I was going to go to the beach. And of course, the beaches in LA, you can't actually get in the water or you will get tar on your feet. But it's great to look like you have the world on your shoulders if you put it on Instagram and Snapchat.
So oh, no, you didn't.
That's right. My son told me to stay off Snapchat because I'm too old. So I only put it on Facebook where my mother and father like to get their updates from me. And so after you leave the beach, of course, you have to go get cocktails in off Sunset Boulevard, which is where I'll go and get something that ends with eeny. It usually starts with the word skinny.
Oh, no, you didn't.
That's right. I actually had ice cream, but don't tell anyone in LA because I will get ejected. And I'll have to go back to the South where at least I can get some good fried food, which they don't have anymore in Los Angeles because I think it's against the law. The end.
Oh my god, that was amazing, Stacey. Oh my god, that was so amazing. And it depicts life in LA just perfectly. You know exactly how it is. I mean,
yeah, it's a special place to live.
That's awesome. Oh, all right. Should we play one more or should we just leave it there? That was amazing.
It's up to you.
Let's just leave it there. That was amazing. Okay. That was incredible. Okay. That was so much fun. See, games are fun, right? That was really funny.
Gosh, that was amazing.
So at this point, we like to ask our guests, is there anything that you want to talk about that you have coming up, Ness, to let our listeners know things that you might be doing or that you want them to participate in or anything that you've got going on?
Sure. So I did want to take a second to just thank you, Allison, for always having a platform for women.
Thank you.
I've been very excited over the last year because I don't know if it's a mixture of Me Too movement or VCs looking for women entrepreneurs, but this is the first time in the 9 years of my company where I've seen a push for more opportunities for women entrepreneurs. And why I'm thanking you is because you give a platform for people like me and other speakers and for people to see what women can do and how supporting each other can really make a big difference. And so this is the first year where people are coming to me and saying, I want you to be a part of this bid. I don't want just all these male-owned tech companies. I'd like to have women-owned tech companies. And so it's, I think maybe three of my last big projects have come from people that have made the point to say, I want to give a woman-owned entrepreneur an opportunity to at least present what they can do. And so I want to, in terms of what's coming next, I just want to encourage your listeners to continue to support each other. I think there was a time when we were a little fearful going to our bosses and saying, hey, I want some more women in this company, or I want more women organizations. But I think we're in a great place now where we can say that. And it's not to be biased that we want women over men, but we want to make it fair and give people an opportunity. And so that's what I love about what you do.
Thanks.
And so what's next for my company? We've created a product called Posture, which is a mixture of DevSecOps and creating a compliance program as a service for small, medium business. And so I'll be going on the road looking for funding and doing investment later this year, which is going to be new and exciting. But the goal of us creating a product is really to help companies in general that have no idea how to include security into their system, into their organization, and being able to give them step-by-step process, an automated process that can handle that so they can focus on creating great products. So I'm really excited about that. And I came out of our company and a lot of the great developers in Jamaica and in the States. So that'll be keeping me busy.
And it's such an important thing because in this day and age, security is so important to people's products. So that's fantastic that you're building that into the life cycle there. And I know that you're going to be doing a talk actually at Star West on putting QA at the front of DevSecOps. So that's really terrific.
Oh yeah. And that'll be fun. I've got some superheroes coming up in that talk. So we'll be talking about the heroes in us.
Oh, as DevSecOps. Well, thank you. Is there anything else that you want to mention? I know you're going to be speaking at Agile Testing Days as well, which is great, going to Potsdam, Germany.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So, going to Germany, excited about that. And just excited about where things are headed for women in technology and to be able to be one of those women to share my experience. So we'll be doing that throughout the country this year.
Thanks. Well, you're always like such a pleasure to be with and to talk to. And I really appreciate what a great role model you've been for other women. And how open you've been about your journey and your life. And I really think that's helped support other women. And I know that over the years, I found the same thing. When I first started doing Women Who Test, I felt like a lot of women talked about this sort of sense that they were almost afraid of other women because they felt this competition. But I think that because maybe they were competing for a few small slots. But I think as the years have grown, I think I've definitely seen a shift as well, where people are really saying, let's support each other and help each other up. We need people who are like us and who are different from us, but who can be a role model for us as well and can be a mentor for us.
Yeah, I'm excited about the shift, and we just have to keep promoting it and letting people know it's okay. We're not in competition. We can all grow together.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Stacy.
Oh, you're welcome. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks, Stacy. Well, that was inspiring talking to Stacy Kirk today. I loved hearing about how she took risks and built her business and how she chose Jamaica. I had always just assumed that Jamaica was a place where she had relatives and family, and really that was not what it was. It was a place that she chose because she thought it had a gold mine of talent. She did understand the culture because her father is Jamaican. But she also loved that they were doing things to empower women there. There was a female prime minister at the time, and just all the things that led her to choose Jamaica as the place where she really grew her company.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting too. I liked when she talked about how she hires talent and she's looking for people that love to learn, that she's looking for people that are curious. And so when she's hiring, she doesn't want people who just kind of stick to one thing, but that they're constantly get bored easily. So she has to kind of think of new ways to do things. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, there is so many great things. And I loved her three C's, the things that she teaches about being fearless and confidence, courage, and coaching. And those are the things that she talks about and recommends to women in terms of their personal journey. And then talking about her own journey and saying how she loves to be different, that she was one of the only African-American kids in her school, that she was probably one of the only African-Americans in her neighborhood. That so she's always stood out and been different, but how she really uses that to her advantage and thinks about how she should be different in the community and how she can bring that to all of the things that she does, her products, by creating spaces for people that are different, which I really liked.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that led to her core values, which we're picking today as our little gem or our nugget for everybody to listen to, which were quality and her entrepreneurial spirit and innovation, and what she started out with as her core values, and then how it kind of evolved over time, how to make products better. And she talks about what was broken in the system and how to kind of look at the whole system and not just one tactical thing, but look at the whole process and how to make products better. So let's take a listen to that.
The original vision is still the same. So when I started my company, I don't think the advice of friends, I created a set of core values. One of was quality, of course, but the other is innovation, teamwork, and entrepreneurial spirit. So from the beginning, with the group of one, myself, I created these core values to make sure I stayed on track as I grew. And so what I'll say is we started being software testing consultancy, but really, really the goal for me and what I use that kind of as kind of a guise, but really we are about making products better. And as you know, just an experience is you can have the most incredible testers, but if you have terrible requirements, the developers are not using best practices, you have a broken process, you're going to have a bad product.
You've been listening to Women Who Change Tech, the podcast that connects you to extraordinary women for deep, inspiring conversations.